United States versus Perez Amaya and Connell.
Yes, sir. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is James Connell. I represent Mr. Perez Amaya. With me at the table is Mr. Reif on the end, who represents Mr. Prada Mendoza, and Mr. Wanage, who represents Mr. Prada. I will be addressing the first two issues in the brief relating to the Southside Locos tribute video and the gang expert, which are the two issues which are raised by Mr. Perez Amaya and Mr. Prada Mendoza. Mr. Wanage will address the two issues which are issues which are unique to his client, Mr. Prada. The main issue raised by this appeal is the question of the Southside Locos tribute video. And the district court erred in prohibiting any use of the Southside Locos tribute video. That is the only evidence of anger, hatred, and bias arising after Mr. Argueta's death. Now, it's completely clear from the cases from this court and from the Supreme Court that defense counsel don't have a right to cross in any manner that they want to, just because they want to, and they don't have the right to beat an issue to death. What they do have is that for an area of prototypical form of bias, is the way the Supreme Court describes it, for a prototypical form of bias, they have the right to introduce evidence for cross-examination on that form of bias. Here, the Confrontation Clause violation occurred when the district court prevented any cross-examination or use of the Southside Locos tribute video. The significance of the tribute video, as opposed to all the other evidence of gang involvement by Mr. Argueta, Mr. Rangel, or the other people, the significance of it is that it's the only evidence of bias arising after Mr. Argueta's death. And as the court knows, the district court had several addressed the admissibility of the video several times. They addressed it in pre-trial.
Was there evidence of bias before his death?
Well, Your Honor, the point the government makes, which is a true one, is that there was other evidence in the record that Mr. Rangel had been a member of Southside Locos prior to Mr. Argueta's death. And so if
my question was there evidence of bias, or that the jury could take as bias before the death? That's my question. Did they take that from the rival gang membership?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
So you think then it's an error, reversible error, then because the jury would think that rival gangs stopped hating one another and stopped hating each other after the death?
Well, in fact, the record is fairly specific on this point, Your Honor. When the United States, in its direct examination of Mr. Rangel, elicited information from him about his prior membership, his membership in the past tense in Southside Locos.
What was the video going to add of the animosity? Your client's defense was self-defense?
Yes, sir.
And so what was the video going to add, because the jury was already aware of the fact that these were rival gangs, that considerable animosity existed between them, and that one gang could have come at your client in a way that required him to take self-defensive measures. So the jury was in a position to appreciate all of that without the video. So what does the video add?
Well, Your Honor, the district court itself described in better words than I could what the video adds. And what the district court said at 1767 in the record is that clearly it reflects their, meaning Southside Locos, state of mind, the bias, the hatred at a time after he, meaning Mr. Argueta, has been killed. The district court went on, the emotion of the Southside Locos gang doesn't necessarily reflect their anger with MS-13 prior to the date of the homicide. What the district court said, and which was correct, is that there is a different level of bias which is reflected by the Southside Locos tribute video than that which existed prior to the death of Mr. Argueta.
So then, of course, the district court allowed it in based on that.
The district court did not.
Why didn't the district court allow it in following on that statement? What else did the district court say?
Well, the district court's articulated reason is that it was too prejudicial.
I thought it was partly that it was cumulative, a great many of the photos had nothing to do with anything. I mean, the video had a lot of different scenes, and a lot of the scenes were pretty far afield in terms of the issues being brought. I thought the government actually offered to admit nine of the most relevant photographs, and that you hadn't taken them up on that. What's that all about?
There are two separate questions there, and I wanted to address them. I'll do them in either order the court wants, but I'll start with the question of cumulative.
First has to do with the fact that there were a lot of different photos of scenes that were pretty far afield, 120 shots. The second has to do with the nine that they were that the government said go ahead and admit, and you apparently didn't concur for some reason. So take those up in order, will you?
I will, Your Honor. And those two issues, and I'll come back to the cumulative issue, because earlier in the trial, the district court had said it was cumulative, and then later it made the statement that I referred to earlier. But let me take up the question of the stills. The question of stills first comes up at page 251 in the joint appendix, where the judge says, well, if Mr. Rangel denies that he was in Southside Locos, then you could use a still, because there are two stills which appear in the video which show Mr. Rangel clearly identifiable by his tattoos, making Southside Locos sign. And my response to that, and this is also at 251 in the joint appendix, was that the denial is a question of impeachment. If he made a statement and we were going to show that he was not telling the truth in that particular statement. The difference between that and that I articulated at the time and that I'm telling this court is that impeachment was not our argument. Impeachment was that the video, taken as a whole, shows a degree of bias which arose in response to Mr. Argueta's death, which did not exist before. What the court refers to when it says about the stills is, in fact, what happened is that we moved again for the admission of the video after Mr. Rangel's testimony, and we retained Mr. Rangel as a witness. At 1653 in the joint appendix, the government said, in the course of its opposing the video in its entirety, the government said, well, there could be some of these stills which are relevant, and its words were, to the nature of the rivalry. And it wasn't that they offered you could have these stills. It was, in fact, that they argued that as an alternative position. That alternative position did not turn out to be necessary to them because the court excluded the video in its entirety.
You obviously had a chance to impeach Rangel, and how did you go about that?
We did impeach him on several points, Your Honor. We impeached him with using his grand jury testimony about the point of whether he was involved in fights. And I impeached him with two arrests, one from June 24th of 2007 and one from September 22nd of 2007, which occurred prior to the killing of Mr. Argueta. The point that I want to leave the court with...
That's good. So what else would you have used? I mean, how could the impeachment have been any more effective?
Your Honor, it's not... If I want to point to draw a distinction between impeachment and bias, although sometimes we say impeaching for bias, there were times in which I suggested to Mr. Rangel that he was not telling the truth, and those are the examples that I just gave. That what the video adds is what the court articulated as, after the killing of Mr. Argueta, Southside Locos showed an anger of hatred, anger, and bias, in the court's word, toward MS-13 and toward these Mr. Presumaya and Mr. Prada Mendoza in particular that they did not show before. What the video would have added that does not appear anywhere else in the entire trial is that level of anger as Mr. Rangel sat on the stand and was testifying, the bias that it showed that he had then as opposed to the animosity between SSL and MS-13 prior to the killing of Mr. Argueta.
But there's nothing in the video that directs that bias against your client. It's generally SSL and MS-13, right? I mean, it doesn't say we hate these two guys because they killed Midget.
It does not mention them by name, Your Honor. It does show, it is a tribute video to Mr. Argueta. So to the extent that Mr. Prada Mendoza and Mr. Perez Amaya were suspected of having killed Mr. Argueta, it is directed against them in particular. In fact, there's one scene, one of the scenes that the court probably stood out of the court, where Mr. Argueta is shown in Jesus' hands in heaven with a rest in peace. It is, in fact, a tribute video, which everyone acknowledged. I'm almost...
Couldn't the jury just intuit that they would have been... Rangel's gang would have been incensed over the death of Mr. Argueta? I mean, that would... Isn't that just generally the way in which gang operates? If you go against one of its members, the whole gang forms a protective phalanx?
Well, not on this record, Your Honor, because the position of the United States in its directed testimony of Mr. Rangel was that Mr. Rangel and Mr. Rangel's position himself, that he wasn't really involved in Southside Locos anymore. He'd never been that involved in the first place. He didn't deny that he was involved, but he minimized. I wasn't that involved before. I never really went to any meetings. And the government's position was all that had happened in the past, and that essentially he had reformed and moved on with his life.
I do think the government, I wondered about that tact on the part of the government myself.
Yes.
In light of your argument, it seemed to me that it is a little contradictory by the government.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Can you reserve some of the others for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. I do have, on in my 10 minutes, I have, oh, I see that I'm running over. I will stop. Thank you very much.
The point I want to make to you is you haven't waived any issues. They're all in your brief.
Yes, sir.
As you don't mention in oral argument, you still preserve.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
But do you have some more time, though?
I have some time for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I believe I have that 4 minutes.
Mr.
Wanager?
Yes.
Good morning, Judge. How you doing, Judge? Judge, with respect to Mr. Jorge Parada, there are three issues that I'd like to address that I have only 5 minutes, so I'm going to go with my first two that are the most important. The theory of the government with respect to the drug sale or narcotic sale by the CLIC, in this case, the PLS CLIC, is that the CLIC was selling drugs or selling cocaine and crack as well. And then the evidence that came out of trial was that there were some members that were doing the sale. Then evidence with respect to Parada was that he was merely present on some of the occasions that the sales took place. To buttress that fact, the government's witness, who happens to be an individual that they were, aka Pelon, that they were selling to repeatedly, testified because his deposition was taken because he was going to be out of the country. His deposition was taken, and he specifically said that on numerous occasions that Mr. Parada was there, but then Mr. Parada never sold him drugs. And I specifically asked him if he had ever had any drug transaction involving Mr. Parada on the occasions that either came together or came by himself. And his answer was to the negative, that Mr. Parada never sold drugs to him. The PLS members that testified on behalf of the government, all the cooperators, all alleged that Mr. Parada was involved in the drug sale, the PLS, the clique was involved.
What about Portillo's testimony? He testified that Parada had received cocaine and resold it in restaurants in Alexandria.
That's what he testified to, Judge. But then the problem is that...
Couldn't the jury believe that, that was in furtherance of the conspiracy?
Judge, his impeachment on the greater, on the main testimony, which is what he told the people of the jail or some people of the jail, was the cocaine actually belonged to him. In other words, that was the statement he initially made on direct examination. However, on cross-examination, he had to eat up his own words that he made or said, which is specifically that all the drugs belonged to him and he was doing the sale. In other words, Judge, why I raise these issues with respect to all these witnesses that testified is, even though they all alleged that Mr. Parada was present, there was no evidence that he was involved in the sale. In addition to the mere presence instruction, if Judge O'Grady had given instruction requested by the defense under the Garcia case and the Avila case, that the defendant may not be convicted solely of the alleged crime just because he's a member of the gang.
What about all the evidence about the fronting of the drugs to Mr. Parada, that they were, these were fronted, that it ran out of Pereira Zamaya's house, which Mr. Pariah had visited?
Judge, all it shows that he was merely present. But then the government's theory of the case is that the clique, that particular clique, the PLS clique, sold cocaine or sold drugs. And then my client being a member of that particular clique, if that instruction is given, at least the jury could decipher that you can be a member of that clique or MS-13.
Well, he wasn't just present when another witness said that he used that witness's phone to arrange a purchase of drugs.
That's what they all said on direct examination. However, on cross-examination, when they were confronted with their prior testimony or statements to law enforcement, then the story changed. But then in addition to that, Judge Wilkinson, if you look at the inherently incredible testimony doctrine that I also raised in our brief, if you compare the testimony of the witnesses that testified against Mr. Parada, who supposedly were members of MS-13 clique, the PLS clique, it was inherently incredible for the story to even make sense. One, because Mr. Parada, including the people that actually bought the drugs, none of them actually said that he sold to them. On one occasion, it was a passenger. The car was stopped on Arlington Boulevard. It was a passenger in the vehicle. He did not participate in the transaction that took place. On the surveillance that was done in Arlington by the detectives, on no one occasion was he involved in the sale. All they had him was merely present. But then, as the owner knows, being merely present does not make one guilty of a conspiracy. He was also charged with conspiracy to commit murder in aid of racketeering in this case, and the jury acquitted him of that. And I will credit that to the fact that the judge only allowed or only gave the instruction about the membership. But then with respect to the particular charged crime in this case of drugs, the judge did not give that instruction. And then the enhancements on the guidelines, Judge, I will submit, my time is up, I will submit that the judge did not consider all the factors under 3553 because the sentence is in disparity with the other defendants that pled guilty in this case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Frank.
May it please the Court, Michael Frank and Anayat Delawal on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, the record is quite clear that the district court did not abuse its discretion in keeping out the Southside Locos video. The defense had great opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Rangel and made effective use of that. Indeed, as we pointed out in our brief, the direct of Mr. Rangel took about 12 pages of transcript. The cross-examination took about 49 pages of transcript. I think the government objected to only one question by the defense. They went well beyond the scope of defense. They were given free rein to cross-examine Mr. Rangel about his biases or potential biases. What the courts have said is that the jury needs to be made aware of the biases and that they then get to determine to what extent that bias has affected the witness's testimony. The jury here was made fully aware of the biases that Mr. Rangel had. Mr. Rangel admitted on direct testimony that he was a member of the Southside Locos. He then readmitted that on cross-examination. He said that he considered MS-13 members to be enemies of his because he was a Southside Locos member. He said that they were also enemies of the deceased victim in the case, Mr. Argueto. He indicated that he had gang tattoos for the Southside Locos, that he had previously gotten into fights or beaten up MS-13 members. It was pretty clear, made pretty obvious to the jury that this was an individual who had some biases against MS-13 members. That gang video would not have added anything. In the off chance that it would have, the United States noted at trial, and we noted in our brief, that there were some photographs that showed Mr. Argueto.
Didn't the government elicit information from Mr. Rangel to suggest his ties to the gang were weak and to downplay that violence against MS-13? That's the side your adversary raised, and I thought the same thing. Didn't you do that?
No. I believe on direct he was asked how many meetings he had attended, and I think he indicated he didn't attend very many meetings. But he specifically said, for example, on page 282, that he was expected to support other Southside Locos members. He said on page 276 that he fought with members of MS-13.
But I thought it was. I didn't either his response to your questions. I didn't really go to very many meetings. I didn't really know what they were always doing. You don't think that was minimizing his strong connection to the gang?
Well, I don't know that he had a strong connection to the gang. You can take it for what it is. Maybe he didn't go to a lot of meetings. I just don't know. But regardless of that, however many meetings he attended, he hated MS-13 and he hated MS-13 members.
Did you ever argue to the jury that he wasn't a full-time player or a really devoted member of the gang? Did you argue that to the jury?
I was not
trial counsel. Quite frankly, I can't remember. What was it argued?
I would like to answer your question, but the closing arguments were not produced, so I have no way to know. I consulted with my counsel. They did not remember that being argued. But regardless, this Southside Locos video could not have spoken to that issue anyway. It would have been different if one of the photos was Mr. Rangel receiving an award from the leader of the Southside Locos.
Mr. Judge, rest his decision not to admit the evidence on, was it 403 or was it cumulativeness or a combination?
I think it was a combination of the, in fact, the three arguments that we made. That one, a large portion of the video was not relevant because it didn't show either the victim or Mr. Rangel. The parts that might have been relevant would have been cumulative insofar as Mr. Rangel admitted his ties to the gang and his hatred for MS-13. And it also would have been prejudicial to the extent that some of the photographs showed firearms, hatred for police, used vulgar language rather extensively in the audio portion of it. Nevertheless, the United States, as an alternative position, said if there were some relevant stills, isolate those and seek those admission. It's interesting to note, and I hope you...
Did you say they didn't take you up on it?
They did not, Your Honor. And it's quite clear if you look at the end of Mr. Rangel's testimony, they could have raised that again. They could have said, Your Honor, to Judge O'Grady, Your Honor, he minimized his role in the gang. They didn't do that. They had that opportunity. And Judge O'Grady also said when he made his ruling, he was very, very astute about this. He indicated, you know, if he makes these sorts of denials, I will reconsider this. But they obviously had the obligation to bring that up. And they didn't.
Well, it's a classic trial management call. This is run-of-the-mill evidence. How long does trial take?
I believe it went about a week. Perhaps a little longer. I'm not entirely certain, Your Honor. That's my best recollection from reading the transcript. I wasn't there.
No, you keep saying you weren't there, but you need to know exactly how long this trial took, and you need to know the answer to Judge Shedd's question about whether the government actually intended that his ties were weak. I mean, Judge Shedd asked you a question which whether you are, the fact that you are an appellate counsel, that doesn't absolve you of the need to know precisely, give a precise response to the question of the two pound, and the question of two pound is asked.
Yes, Your Honor, I apologize.
Okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
You should, in a way, you should be more familiar than trial counsel with the record.
Yes, Your Honor. I apologize for that.
It's hard for us to understand how you can prepare. We see it lots. We see that lots. People can prepare and not know what is sort of basic information, facts about the case. It's hard. You getting it today, you're not getting, by the way, I think people get it much worse than this. It's being done very gently to you. And by the way, when you told me that it wasn't produced, what does that mean? That no transcript was made or just not part of this record? Or you don't know what that means?
No, the closing was not produced. We went to look. For the closing, there was...
Produced where? What do you mean produced?
It has never been transcribed to the
not been transcribed.
So there was nothing for me to consult other than the prosecutor's...
The closing was not transcribed?
That is my understanding, Your Honor.
Why wasn't it?
On one of the sheets where the requests are made, it was checkmarked. But then where everything else has an X, it has a checkmark, and then was not produced. So I did... dutifully try to determine the answer to your question, what
you
happened at closing,
about the case.
And he did, and they didn't recall that. So I did at least try to learn about that.
Okay, so 16 days, not counting weekends.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you. But as I indicated, the jury was able to determine that Mr. Rangel had biases, and they were made rather plain for him. The other issue that I presume defense counsel will discuss is about the expert testimony of Mr. Farrell, Detective Farrell, who testified as an expert and as a fact witness.
Well, that's pretty much covered by our previous case.
Correct, Your Honor. And as you know, you served on both of the panels of Johnson and Ayala. And I think you pretty clearly indicated that Crawford does not overcome, does not say anything about 702 or 703.
It's just routine expert testimony. He's not a conduit for hearsay. He's drawing together the basis for his opinion from a lot of different sources.
That's correct, Your Honor. And his testimony was generally the type of testimony that we've seen from law enforcement experts in other cases in other circuits. If you look at the other circuits' opinions, this is the type of testimony that was elicited from such experts.
The routine feature of these
trials. That's correct, Your Honor. I believe that. And the cases indicate that, as did the two panel opinions that you were on the panel. With respect to the arguments made by Mr. Awanagay with respect to Mr. Parada, yeah, briefly touched on the jury instructions issue. Again, that's reviewed for abuse of discretion. His gang membership instructions, if you look in our brief, they were nearly identical instructions, and the district court gave one of them and not the other. He quibbles over a one-sentence instruction, which was covered by that other instruction that the district court gave. He also indicated that the district court should have given another instruction regarding multiple conspiracies, but there were no multiple conspiracies identified in the trial. In fact, the evidence, and this goes into his next argument with respect to the sufficiency of the evidence was that this clique of the Pinos Locos clique of MS-13 was required to sell cocaine. The cocaine was fronted to the members. They had a quota that they had to sell, and that's where they raised money. Correct, and he was a close friend of Perez Amaya. That's where the drugs were weighed.
You sold it in Alexandria restaurant.
Right, exactly, and also perhaps in the district
of Columbia. The modus operandi was pretty similar, and the primary hub and location of it. Conspiracy revolved. All the conspirative gang members?
Correct, Your Honor.
13 members?
Right, and members of the Pinos Locos clique, which was the particular clique.
Which was a particular branch of.
Correct, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, do you have anything further?
I do not.
How about the sentence?
Oh, yes, Your Honor. On the sentencing.
Yes, I'm acutely aware of
that. He tries to show that he is similarly situated to co-defendants who received the lower sentence. But in fact, according to what the courts of appeals have said, he's not similarly situated to his co-defendants, insofar as none of them were career offenders.
He's the only career offender.
Right. And that, of course,
made the category was six, wasn't it?
That's correct. Right. He also was not similarly situated insofar as they had accepted responsibility. They also did not receive any enhancements for perjury, for obstruction of justice. But those did not make any, strictly speaking, did not make any difference in the sentence. Insofar as he's his criminal history category is six, he's a career offender, and that's why he received a 300-month sentence.
So the ones that he's trying to compare to had cooperated with the government and received a motion for downward departure?
Correct, Your Honor. That is not in the record also. I should make clear about that, but that seems to be who he's indicating that he compares himself to. And if you have no other questions for me, then... Okay. I will surrender
myself.
Thank you.
You have some rebuttal time.
Thank you. One point that I don't want to leave unaddressed is this question of the stills and the record. The entire discussion of the stills by the government appears at page 1653 of the Joint Appendix. And to characterize it as the government offered to allow 9 stills to be introduced is simply not consistent with what the record here. After arguing for several pages that the video should not be...
Was that as the result of some sort of sidebar?
No, sir. It was, we kept, this was very important evidence to the defense. And this is not just some random piece that came up in the course of a cross-examination. This was something that was briefed before trial. We brought it up before the witness testified. We brought it up after the witness testified. And we brought up it again in the defense case. In the defense case, after Mr. Perez Amaya had testified to his self-defense claim, we had the additional argument. We had a 404A argument in addition to our able-based cross-examination bias argument. And in the course of that argument, the government said, Certainly much of it with the pictures of the victim, for example, if there are particular still slides that show the MS-13 Southside logo's graffiti, the derogatory comments about MS-13 underscoring the nature of that rivalry, that may be in a limited sense admissible for a limited purpose and only for a limited purpose, shouldn't be used as evidence of Mr. Argueta's character, and it shouldn't be used as evidence of any kind of specific act. That is the entirety of the offer of nine photographs, that paragraph right there. So the reason I want that to be important is that the court may agree or disagree with me on the bias claim, but the record of our attempt to present this evidence to the jury is completely clean.
I still don't understand how the jury could possibly have been unaware that these two gangs were not only rival gangs, but that they very positively and actively hated one another.
Well, Your Honor, because we're talking about bias, it's something that is particular to Mr. Rangel. And I was struck by something that
bias.
Government...
What do you mean by bias? You've thrown that term around a lot, but I'm not sure exactly what you mean by it.
Yes, sir. The courts have, in interpreting Abel, and there's the Hinkey case out of the Ninth Circuit, which lays it out in a very nice way. But the courts have talked about two forms of bias that come from gang evidence. The first is internal cohesion, that there's pressure to testify in a way that is advantageous to one's own gang. The second of those is the possibility of retaliation, that if a gang member doesn't testify in a way that is advantageous to their own gang and disadvantageous to their rival, that there's a possibility of retaliation.
Wouldn't the jury be aware of that? I mean, it's almost like secondhand knowledge that people generally have, people would understand that gang members protect their own and that they retaliate against those who, including their own, who double cross them.
That's where the significance of this record comes into play. And at pages 253 and 254 in the record, that is the place where the government leads off with its direct of Mr. Rangel. And Mr. Rangel takes the position elicited by the government that I used to be a member of SSL. I maybe went to a meeting once in a while. When asked specifically the question with respect to the conflict, the question was...
Let me ask you this much.
Yes.
Did you argue to the jury that he was biased because he was in the rival gang?
Yes, sir.
Well, you made the argument to him. Did you argue that he is in the gang and he had hatred for him before and after? Did you draw any distinction? Did you not argue to the jury? He's in another gang. He's in a rival gang. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to do everything he can to testify against this guy, even if he's lying. And I suspect you didn't say if he's lying. I suspect you said when he's lying. Didn't you do something like that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But, in fact, that's much like the situation from Davis versus Alaska, because what happened in Davis was the defense counsel made the argument. That's the classic case about the juvenile conviction. The defense counsel made the arguments, and what the Supreme Court had to say about that is, yeah, counsel made the arguments, yeah, counsel asked the questions that he could, but the jury was just as likely to think that was just usual defense counsel.
But how could that be based on this record where there was evidence in the record before the incident of gang dislike and all?
And then
you think the jury's going to think somehow using their common sense that you tell them to use or the judge instructs them to use? That they think these rival gangs hate each other, except when one kills a member of the other, suddenly they like each other?
Your Honor, the government's position with respect to all of these cooperators and Mr. Rangel was that these people who were in gangs, that was a couple of years ago, and now they're worthy of belief. Our position, and the thing that this video added that was nowhere else in this record, was that after the killing, as a specific hatred, anger, and bias, is the words of the district court, that hatred, anger, and bias became greater rather than lesser.
Since you haven't mentioned the expert, is there any way that you can distinguish Judge Wilkerson's opinion in Ayala?
Yes, sir. And I'll be very brief about it. The key distinction between this case and Ayala is the nature of what was relied upon. There were two things that were relied upon in Ayala: search warrants and interviews of gang members and their victims. This case is radically different. This case is a case about going to websites, watching National Geographic, going to conferences, going on vacation in Mexico.
That's the way in which experts form opinion. What we were concerned about in Johnson and Ayala and in several other cases as well is that there just not be a conduit for the hearsay. And if you go outside the hearsay context of a particular case, and here he surveilled gang members. He'd gone to conferences on MS-13. He'd been a member of a Fairfax County gang task force for years. He'd gotten data from a variety of interviews that didn't pertain to this case at all. His thing is gangs, and, you know, he's spent years building up the expertise.
Yes, sir. The point that I was just addressing, and one of the critical distinctions, is the application of Rule 703. In Ayala, there was an agreement, apparently by the defense, that the evidence which was relied upon by the expert was the sort reasonably relied upon by experts in the field. Presumably, there was testimony to that effect. This case is completely different from that. This case, there was no testimony about that this sort of evidence, websites and Facebook and National Geographic and vacations in Mexico, that was the sort of evidence reasonably relied upon by experts. And that's a critical distinction between this case and Ayala. Thank you, sir.
I want to thank, I see you all are court-appointed counsel, and the court wishes to thank you for your efforts and the vigorous manner in which you argued your case. We appreciate your services very much.
Thank you, sir.
I'll come down and say hi to you and move into our final.